It was more years ago than I'd like to remember. It was when I was a young minister and I heard that Pastor or Dr. Reinder Brunsma was the new division secretary and that he'd come from leadership in Holland where he'd been well respected for a long time to take that position. And at the time I thought, well, these people at the division, they're so far high above where I was, I think down in Portsmouth at the time, that you never actually get a chance to interact with them. And it's really nothing to do with me until I heard him talk. And I heard him speak at one of our workers' meetings. And he spoke very clearly and incisively about the challenge that we have here in Europe. The challenge that in a world that was changing, to meet the needs of understanding the changing culture in which we're living and to take our everlasting message, the message of Jesus Christ, into this world. And I thought, this is a man who has a vision for our work in Europe. He's written a book on the subject, among other things. And so he's not one of these distant academics or distant administrators. He's someone who is, when we invited him to come here to Scotland, said, yes, no problem at all. Love to come. If I can bring my wife, Afia, as well. And it is a delight that you can both be here. And we're looking forward to the word of God being shared with us, not only over the weekend, but right now, as our pastor brings the word to us.
Doctor,
it's for you.
Thank you.
I wonder what you're going to say next time to introduce me. It's difficult to have to introduce the same person over and over again. But thank you for your kind words. What does it mean to be an authentic Christian? You must be what you pretend to be. I don't hear the term being used very much these days, but when I first started to use a computer, you often heard the term WYSIWYG. WYSIWYG. An abbreviation of the sentence, what you see is what you get. What is on the screen, you will actually get when you try to print it. And most of you, I suppose, who have been using computers for a long time know that that is not always self-evident. People today are looking for authentic people. They want to get what they see. What's the definition of authentic? Real, genuine, worthy of trust, not fake, not phony, pure, conforming to the original, credible. I tell you, people today, in particular young people, can smell phoniness from a long distance. If you're not real, forget it. Christians do not always have a good name. For some people, the word Christian is almost synonymous with hypocrisy. It looks okay superficially, but it is not. It's sometimes like watches that you buy on the beach in Africa. They tell you they're Rolex watches or some other expensive brand. But in reality, we know they're made in China. They may carry the name Rolex, but they are not Rolex. When I worked in Africa, I bought quite a few Lacoste shirts for $2 or $3. And of course, I knew they were fake. Last year, or the year before, when I led a group of Dutch Adventists to Turkey for a trip, Repeatedly, we saw notices in Turkey, genuine fake watches. We do not like it when goods are fake. When cheap things are given expensive brand names, it's deception. In fact, it's crime. But it's worse when it comes to Christians. There is a storyteller in the Netherlands who tells in one of his books with short stories the book of his cousin Martin. As a boy, he was invited to come along with his uncle. And his uncle was a dealer in second-hand harmoniums. Is that word familiar here in Scotland? The pomp organs, harmoniums. With your Reformed background in Scotland, that must be a well-known word. Very popular, at least in the Netherlands, with Calvinists who like to sing psalms at home. And so this uncle takes this Martin to the home of an old lady. She has a nice instrument that she needs to sell. So she asks how much money she will get for it. And the uncle says that, well, unfortunately, it's not worth much. But, you know, after some bargaining, he is willing to give her 25 guilders. In today's money, about 10 pounds. And they agree. They load the harmonium on the cart outside. And then the uncle turns to Martin and says, "You see, I have a customer for this organ. It's a nice instrument and I can easily get 250 guilders for it." And then he adds, "You see, that's how the Lord blesses those who serve him." There used to be a saying in some part of our country that if you're talking with a member of a particular church, be careful. If you shake hands, always afterwards count your fingers. The Christian church does not always have a good name in Europe. Very often when people talk about Christians, then the words that they use will contain terms like power play or politics or greed. As Christian churches, they're always after your money. And Christians, what they have to say is at best irrelevant. Well, what's new? When Jesus faced the religious leaders of his days, he looked at them and he called them hypocrites. He says, "You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and indulgence." He even compares them with whitewashed tombs. Beautiful on the outside, but inside full of bones and everything unclean. The story comes to mind that we find in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They appear to be very good people, very liberal. They decided they were going to sell a piece of land and give a large chunk of money to the church. But the story tells us they were phony. They pretended to give everything that they had. But in fact, they wanted to look good. They looked after themselves first. All they wanted was to enhance their reputation. But that was not acceptable to God, as the story clearly indicates. We see often people in society, in the church, and we wonder, are they for real? When politicians go to church and the cameras are there, you wonder, why is it that they do this? Are they for real? Let's be honest. There is much window dressing among Christians. There is much window dressing among Seventh-day Adventists. We know we are supposed to act in certain ways. Oh yes, we're not supposed to eat pork or drink beer. Not supposed to watch dirty movies or go to a casino. We're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. But many act one way when no members of the church are in sight, and act quite differently when they think they are safe. Have you also noticed that those who always speak about the loose morals of others, that they often happen to be the ones that have been unfaithful or have all kinds of moral problems? Of course, there's always been this dualism between what people are saying and what they are doing. It's nothing new. It's always been there. It was always wrong. The Old Testament tells us that the Lord sees what is in sight. You remember that story in 1 Samuel 16 where the prophet Samuel is sent to anoint David. And Samuel was ready to anoint one of the brothers of David who looked more impressive. But God then says, no, I want David. And he says, you know, you may look at the outward appearance, but I see the heart. That's why I want David. And Christ in the New Testament makes it abundantly clear, God does not just judge the outward acts. He also wants to find out what's inside. He judges our motives. And he says, if you look at a woman with lustful eye, then that's the same as committing adultery, because the motive is the same as the act. It has always been important to be real, but it's more important today than ever before. People today, in particular the younger generation, they want to see the real person. Not what you do, but who you are. They ask now, how are you when nobody is looking? Who are you deep down? Are you what you say you are? If not, we will not listen. Now, what do people expect to see when they look at us? People today, they are not looking for perfect people who have never failed in anything. They're not looking for people who know everything, who have a solution for everything. In fact, they distrust people who say they have a solution for everything. When they look at us, people are not looking for people who never have any doubts, who are always sure about what they believe. What they expect is to see real people. WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. You want to get a hearing in today's world, in particular from the younger generation. If you want to do evangelism, if you want to reach the secular non-church people, you must be real. You must be authentic. Otherwise, forget it. The question then is, of course, how do you become authentic? I cannot offer you a 10-step program. It's not taking a course like how you learn to drive, or how you learn to type, or how you learn another language, because it doesn't have to do primarily with what you know, but who you are. I would suggest this morning to you that if I want to be totally authentic, then the first thing that I need to be is totally honest. Honest to myself and to others. Honest about what is happening in my life. Sometimes we are just an image. We do clever public relations for ourselves, and we hide who we are deep down. People may be quite different from the image they promote. They may not be such nice husbands as they like to suggest. They may not be the caring father or the loving mother who people think they are. They may not be so spiritual as their pious words in Sabbath school would suggest. The reality may be known only to a few that are very close to them. Unfortunately, the reality is that there are church members who go to church but have no spiritual life, no real Christian experience. That can happen. The reality is that there are Christian husbands who cheat on their wives. The reality is there may be church leaders in a local church who never give a tithe. There may be brothers and sisters around us who have never conquered some wrong habit. I would suggest, first of all, be honest. Do you think it doesn't shine through somewhere when you're dishonest? Of course it does. Sooner or later, the truth comes out. Somehow people can smell that things don't add up. So if you want to be authentic, begin with total honesty. If you do not like what you see when you look at yourselves, then make a change. That will earn you respect. Living a lie does not. It brings you disillusion. Secondly, if we want to be authentic, we have to understand and we have to admit that admitting our doubts does not make us weaker. We all have doubts. That is all of us who do any thinking. If a person says to me that he has never had any doubt, then he's either a liar or he has no brain. The question is not, do we ever have any doubt? The question is, what do we do with our doubts? Do we cultivate our doubts? Or do we suggest to ourselves and to others that doubts are simply the proof of our intelligence? Or are we struggling for answers? We're dealing with our questions, with our doubts, one by one, even if it takes a long time. If you want to be authentic, we must be willing to be vulnerable. You know, it's so easy to tell others about what went well in your life. It's much more difficult to tell them where things went wrong. The problems that you have been facing. I must admit it took me a long time to learn this. That it's all right to tell people about the things that I cannot do. About the things that have not succeeded. The problems that I've been facing. I found out, and I'm sure you can find out as well, or have found out, that making yourself vulnerable does not mean that you will lose the respect of the people around you. In fact, it will increase the respect that people have. And people will find it easier to talk to you because they have a sense that this is a real person of flesh and blood. A person who has been facing some of the same issues that I'm struggling with. So yes, here is somebody whom I can interact with. If you want to be authentic, you must listen to the stories of others, and you must be willing to tell your own story. Sometimes it's difficult to listen to the stories of others, especially when some people tell you the same story all over again. But it's important, because people want you to know who they are, where they are coming from. But they also want to know who you are, where you are coming from, what your background is. That makes you authentic. Authenticity shines through in how you live your daily life. You say you believe in God. Does that shine through in your everyday choices? In the priorities that show in your life? You know, outside of our church, and increasingly inside of our church, very few people ask, now, are you correct in all your doctrinal views? Most people in the real world, they don't ask that question. They don't ask in the first place whether your theology is okay, but they wonder, are you a nice person? Do you care? Can we see that you're honest? And of course, if you want to be authentic, then the question is, do you model acceptance, forgiveness? Both in forgiving others and graciously accepting forgiveness from others. And sometimes that's more difficult, to accept forgiveness than to actually forgive yourself. Well, I have gradually learned over the years that I do not need to pretend that everything is okay with me. That I can tell people about my doubts. Of course, I must do so in a responsible way. I cannot say anything always, everywhere, to anyone. But I can share some of my feelings and some of my frustrations so that the other will feel, yes, he is flesh and blood like me. He can understand me. I must constantly ask myself the question, if I want to be real, if I want to be authentic, now, have the things that I've preached about over the years, have they made me a different person, at least to some extent? Have they helped me to make different choices? Has my belief in the second coming of Jesus Christ changed my life and given it other priorities? Has the fact that I celebrate the Sabbath, has that done something for my life? Has the fact that I talk about death and resurrection when I conduct funeral services, has that also given me inner peace, a sense of destiny? Do people see, in other words, that I live a life that matters? A few years ago, we were confronted with the death of a good friend. He was not a church member, but we had known him and his family for many years. His family put in the announcement, this interesting line saying, his story was not finished. And then they came and asked me to lead the funeral service. They said, we ask you as a friend, not as a pastor, so don't make it too pious. So that's difficult when you get that type of assignment. But I took my cue for my sermon from what I read on the card. His story was not finished. Because to me that showed that people saw that he really lived. There was something that people wanted to continue. There was something that was worth listening to. I hope that when my time comes that people will say, his story was not finished. There was still a promise of more to come. So when people look at me, when they look at you, what do they see? Do they see a faithful steward? Do they see a real disciple? Do they see somebody who is a Christian in his relationships, who is transparent, who can be trusted, who is real? Not just occasionally, but 24/7. It's not easy to become authentic. It's work in progress. In essence, it's becoming gradually, constantly more like Jesus Christ. That's why I have chosen the reading that was read before the sermon. To be truly authentic, to be real, is to be like Christ. When we read there in Philippians 2 of the Christ who humbled himself, who became man, completely man, totally man, real man, until death on the cross. Talk about vulnerability. You do not become an authentic person overnight. It's a matter of lifelong commitment, of discipline, of growth, meditation and prayer. And what applies to the individual also applies to a church community. How does the church become an ever more authentic community that attracts people? We do not become authentic. We do not become an open, caring church here in grief by just saying it or writing it on the church bulletin. But it takes efforts from all of you. But if we are not an authentic community, we can shake it. People of today around us will ignore us, or worse. Therefore, may God help us, individually, collectively, to be authentic. Amen.